of the men who have crept in quietly into the church and have tried to change it more and more into their own image and desires. And so the last of these general descriptions before a statement of the Lord Jesus concerning them and advice as to what we should do in days in which they prosper is found in verse 16 and 17. Jude writes, "These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These are they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." In verse 16 here, we are told of them that they are murmurers. Now, there have always been murmurers throughout the history of the people of God. We hardly begin to read much into the book of Moses, books of Moses, then we hear of the constant murmuring of the children of Israel. Murmuring is a softly spoken undercurrent of thought that is raised to try to change the attitudes of people and to influence them in wrong ways. It's a word that is called onomatopoeic. That is, it sounds like what is going on. Murmuring, murr. Soft, quiet things that were intended to transform. This is the beginning, the way in which they start to work. Although later they'll be more open and more ostentatious in the things that they do. But murmuring is something that we are to be constantly warned against. I remember being at Bob Jones University, and around in the classrooms we would have some saying, not of Scripture, but of Dr. Bob Jones Sr., the founder of the university, that we were to be reminded of by these little wall plaques. And I recall one time in Bib Graves' dormitory, when a public phone in the hall calling my parents, but right next to the phone, there was a little plaque said, "Griping not tolerated." And we were constantly reminded of that. Now, here we were at a Christian university with many good things going on that should cause us to rejoice, but we had to be reminded that griping was not to be tolerated. We weren't to call our parents and gripe about the food or the activities of the school or our own situation there. But this was because throughout history, men have always been gripers and murmurers. saying in a soft way what upset them and calling others to join with them. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in a passage in which Paul is leading up to a discussion of the Lord's Supper, in verse 10 we read, "Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer." And of course, we've looked already at Korah's rebellion and the way in which his complaints he passed on to other Levites and on into the tribe that was next encampment to his, and many people were destroyed. But they were destroyed because of their murmurings and their complaints against Moses and against the Lord. And we're told in verse 11, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." That is, it was never thought that when Israel got out of the wilderness, there would cease to be any further murmuring. But it's something that's going to continue on to the end of the world. And the problems that we have, we are often tending to murmur about them and to add our complaint. So it says, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." If you feel you're past all that, be very careful, because it's something that's going to come from your heart into your mouth, complaint that God should do more than what he has done. And so in verse 15, Paul says, "I speak to wise men, judge ye what I say." And the contrast to the murmurings are the blessings that we receive. He refers to the cup of grape juice in the Lord's Supper and says, verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ?" But let us remember that the reception of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that's portrayed in that the Lord's Supper, in that cup of juice that the Lord gives us to drink, it was in the Passover, the particular cup called the cup of blessing, and it continues with us as the communion of the body of Christ. And so instead of murmuring and complaining, as these men in the book of Jude who have come in begin to do, and to try to transform everything to their own benefit by it, we should remember, we should not murmur and complain, but remember that we are partakers of the cup of blessing in the Lord. Well, Jude says, these men coming in manifest themselves by the attitude of their heart, by the quiet words of their mouth, which offer complaint and try to turn people against being satisfied with what the Lord provides. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts. Their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Their mode of operation is to plan their lives in such a way that through making us dissatisfied with the things of Christ and with the law and direction that God would have us walk, for we're called, of course, by the Lord in the covenant with Abraham, walk before me and be perfect, they turn things around and walk after their own lusts instead of after the desires of the Lord. We have, again, a contrast here between walking after God's ways, walking before Him, or walking after our own lusts and desires. These infiltrators that shall come into the church shall more and more try to make us dissatisfied and to turn us to a new way, which is their way, and gratify their lusts. Now they move from being simply agitators stirring up dissatisfaction in our hearts to openly proclaiming with their mouth the opposition to the things of God. In other words, they start out building dissatisfaction in our hearts, and then they begin with great, King James says, great swelling words, or great oratorical words, speaking great things against the Lord Jesus in order to gain advantage of one sort or another over us. Sandy asked us to pray for Mr. Trump. Well, we see so much of this on the part of the Democratic Party, constantly saying, well, there's nothing wrong here, there's nothing wrong there. But whatever is done to correct these things, they say, is terrible. And then they come to begin more clearly to speak great swelling words. I think of this mayor from Indiana that has been attacking Mr. Pence so openly. He, of course, claims to be, I guess, an evangelical Christian, and yet he is a homosexual, and he tries to tell us that we should accept that, and that this is something that can make us better Christians. I heard him just on a news broadcast today saying, yes, Mr. Pence, being married to my husband, or my wife, whatever he wants to call the gentleman that he's married to, he says, this has brought me closer to God. It hasn't separated me from Him, but it's brought me closer to Him. And so he substitutes his own lusts for the commands of God, and he does it with great swelling words, publicly declaring one thing or another to bring down the respect of the Lord that he should be manifesting. And this, of course, we see from the book of Daniel, something that the Antichrist is going to do. in Daniel chapter 11, verse 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries. And with the arms of a flood shall they be overthrown from before him, and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. And after the league made with him, he shall work deceitfully, for he shall come up and shall become strong with the small people. Goes on to say how he shall overtake the authority in the kingdom which he has overcome. And then verse 36 says, and the king shall do according to his own will. He shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that which is determined shall be done. Notice the same kind of language here. He shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. What these deceivers that come into the church do is they come to a place where they also shall speak marvelous, great swelling words against the God of gods, and substitute their own will and desires and lusts for those of the Lord Jesus. And so we see that already, as I said, in the mayor from Indiana who speaks out and has gained great prominence among the Democrats. I think he was listed as the third most popular of the men who have declared or are being considered for the Democratic nomination of this country. How quick and how large are his statements, saying even that homosexuality is what brings him closer to God, not the honoring of the world as God has made it. In any case, they do all these things seeking some kind of advantage. They speak words deceitfully and corruptly. One of the psalms that I was considering we might have sung this morning but didn't know as well is Psalm 12. And in Psalm 12 in verse 4, the enemies that David speaks against and asks the Lord to bring to naught are those who have said, with our tongue will we prevail, our lips are our own, who is Lord over us? And so they feel that they can use their mouths, no matter what the situation, they can turn it under their own power and prevail. Our lips are our own, who's Lord over us? They don't recognize any authority over them at all. And that is what these men that Jude warns against are like. Well, we ought to remember in prayer our president and our churches, where there are so many who are rising up and who are wishing to turn this country away from the truth. The congresswoman from Wisconsin referred to the 9/11 attack the jihad of the Muslims as being, on 9/11, she said, some people did something. And then she goes on. And now as she is being criticized, this other congresswoman from New York says she feels that her life, that the life of this woman from Wisconsin is in danger because of the things that she says. Instead of recognizing that the attack is upon Christians and upon the United States and its freedoms and liberties, she turns it all around and says, it's the attackers whose lives are in danger from the Christians, and the Christians are not to be honored, and neither is their God. And so they twist and turn and use their mouths to deceive and to bring to naught the truth of God. But in the end, as it says of the Antichrist in the 11th chapter of Daniel, he shall prevail until the desolation comes, until the time of God's judgment is revealed, and it shall be revealed. The Lord shall have them in derision, and they shall be ashamed of every word which they have spoken. Dear Father, we look to Thee and pray that Thou would defend our nation and our church from those who wish to, by lying and deceit and deception, by murmurings and by great swelling words, tear down the bonds which Thou hast put in the world. Dear Lord, we know that Thou shalt laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. Yet He has set His King upon the holy hill of Zion. And Lord, we look forward to that great, great day when You shall indeed plant our Lord Jesus there. And all these oppressive words and deeds and actions and thoughts are proven to be futile and unable to be enacted in the glory and the righteousness of our Savior. In His name we pray. Amen.